Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos.
And Sister Amen.
Coming from a parking lot near you. Are we sitting in a parking lot, Sister Amen?
We're near somebody in a parking lot, yeah.
We just got done. We had a brother's gathering on video, and we left another brother. He's actually parked not too far away from us tonight. That's pretty cool. We got a neighbor who's a brother. A brother who's a neighbor.
Yeah, at least we could trust this neighbor.
Exactly. I like that. I like that. We had a really busy day today. Let's see. What did we do, Sister Amen? We woke up and had our nice, quiet time talking about the things of God together. Then I was actually on the phone and doing some discipling and talking about some issues and some things we're working on as brothers. Then we had to travel. Did we have a good travel?
Yep, we did.
We did.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day for
it. We flew down the highway. Nice, cool day. And then we preached outside a music festival. And we'll have that preach up tomorrow. We didn't get it posted today. We'll talk about that a little bit. And then we had a brother's gathering in the park. And my young brother learned how to cook. He's learning how to cook over an open fire. So he cooked us some really good food today on the fire that Sister Amen had gotten prepared. And so it was a really good day. We're thankful.
Full of all kinds of good and pure and godly things.
Yep, yep. So as I said, we'll get that preach uploaded tomorrow. And hopefully that will edify others. Sister Amen, what's on your heart and mind today? I got a few points, some things I want to cover. Just talk. But what's on your heart and mind today?
Well, one thing I was thinking, you know, as we travel down the highways a lot, we see billboard after billboard after billboard.
We do.
Yeah, and today I saw one that said 83% of consumers look at billboards. and I was looking at it. I was one of them, apparently. And I told Brother Tupos, I said, you know, by the end of the day, I don't remember any of those billboards. And you remember what you said?
Yeah, I said something along the lines that the billboards are supposed to, like, grab your attention real quick, like they show a burger and you're hungry and you think, hey, that's a burger, let's stop at that place and get a burger. So it's supposed to quick catch you, kind of like in your flesh, and to fill a need. And then we talked about verses, the things of God, what?
That are supposed to be long lasting and deep. Yeah. So, duh, on me, I didn't even catch it, you know. But some of the billboards are for you to remember later, but yeah, probably 99% of them are for next turn, 8 miles, 27 miles. There's that one company that advertises billboards hundreds and hundreds of miles, and as you drive down the road, you see it.
Wall Drug.
I didn't know if you wanted to say that or not.
Tourist spot called Wall Drug, and they have signs for their store, ice cream, a nickel coffee, tourist goods, and their signs are like 300 or 400 miles away from their store, but it's right along the busy highway.
Yep.
And so everybody that's driving knows it's coming, it's coming. They keep seeing these wall signs.
Yeah.
That's pretty good advertising.
You know what? It's in other states, too, kind of as like a funny thing. But
yeah,
I guess that kind of draws the people in.
Yeah. But billboards are mostly meant to aim you towards something fleshy. And we were talking about the things of God are to go deep and ingrain us for a long time, eternal things.
Yeah, totally different than what the world is.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That was an interesting thought. Yeah, and speaking of flying down the highway, so we're flying down the highway, and I was thinking about something I read, and somebody was saying, like, in a van or a shuttle bus like ours, you drive slower, you save gas. So if you go 55 miles an hour, you're going to save more gas than if you drive 85 miles an hour. Makes sense. The engine's got to work a lot harder to push you that fast. But then people were saying, well, it's not safe to drive that slow because people are driving way faster. And I started thinking, Sister Amen, I said, wait a minute. Not safe to drive 55. The low-end speed limit on the highways is 45. That's real slow. But you can do that. And then 55 is a pretty good clip. The speed limit is 70, which, okay, so they're going faster. Do you know why the problem of going 55 becomes a safety hazard, Sister Amen?
Is when people are exceeding the top of the speed limit.
People are just going 70. They're going like 85, 90. And they come up on you like you're standing still.
Yeah.
And it got me to thinking how so many times in the culture, the people that cause the problems are the people that are peaceful and keep the law, and other people that don't like it get angry, and they may be the lawbreakers. And in this case, that's it. If you go the speed limit or under 55, the people that are going close to 100 are mad at you.
Right.
Because you're a safety hazard. And it reminds me of the scripture verse, Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So it's kind of like the abortion laws are wicked and heinous, and a lot of the transgender laws now are that same way, and it's like they're flipping what's good and evil. And if you stand for what's good and the law, you're actually looked at as on the outside of it. Like today, I was street preaching, and somebody called the police on us, and the police showed up and were watching us, and we were perfectly legal. I went to go make contact with the police officers, and it all went really good. But the police officer said, well, you realize some of the things you're saying could bring on aggression. And I'm like, bring on aggression? I'm like, officer, is there anything anyone should say that would cause another man to punch another man in the face? He goes, well, no, it shouldn't, but it does. And he was like making excuses for the violent people that would come and say, shut up, I don't like what you're saying, and I'm going to punch you. Right. And it was kind of weird. He said, I hate to come back and have you pick and your nose bleed and you're picking up your teeth. And I'm like, well, we shouldn't be hit for preaching the gospel here in America. People should just avoid it. So it got me thinking about the concept that as we do good, people love evil, and they switch it around, and they make evil good and good evil. What do you think of that, Sister Robin?
Right. It kind of reminds me of way back in school, unfortunately, going through the secular school system.
Public school, yeah.
Yeah, they're programming you to all fit through the same mold. And there is always a small group of people that had the little protractor in their pocket, and they had thicker glasses, and they were quiet. And
the smarter ones.
Yeah, they studied. They got A's on all their tests. People called them nerds.
Well-behaved, yeah.
They called them nerds.
Yeah.
A terrible thing to call
nerds,
somebody.
Nerds, bookworms.
They're doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And the rebellious ones are saying that it's wrong. I always felt bad for them.
Yeah, that's right. You bring that up. I remember in high school, I didn't get in trouble, but I used to do a lot of bad things, but I never got caught. But I remember if you, in like, before high school, grade school, if you tried to be a good student and just a good person and a good child, you were ridiculed as you were a pansy. You were,
oh, yeah.
You weren't breaking the law. Hey, come on, we're going to go throw rocks at people's windows. And it's like, I don't think we should do that. Oh, you big sissy.
Yep.
Come on, let's go. Uh-huh. And it almost becomes like the crowd mentality. And we see that in the culture today. The crowd mentality, they think they're making up what is right, what's righteous, versus what God has said and what the law says. And it's going to create eventually probably a civil war-like atmosphere in our country.
Yeah, it's ramping up that way.
Yeah,
anyway.
It is. Yeah. So yeah, that was kind of interesting. I was thinking about that. And then I had another thought. Today, we were out preaching, and I was talking to a man that turned out to be a mocker at this music festival. And I turned and saw Sister Amin talking to this young man. So I went over to talk to him. And it turned out he was quite a seeker. Sister Amin filled him up with quite a bit of truth. And he was a Lutheran. And so I filled him up with a lot of truth. I asked him why he's at a worldly event. He said he admitted it was worldly. I said, should we be of the world or of Christ? He said, we should be of Christ. He didn't have a good answer for why he was there. I said, what's your faith system? He said, Lutheran. I said, you got to go talk to my young brother, Kuo, who was with us, because he left the Lutheran church. And this young man said, I got to go put this in my car. I'll come back. And so I shared more truth with him. I gave him a gospel card, told him we're here for him. I said, most people never come back. I said, go check out our website. Test yourself. I'm here to help you. Well, I walked over to talk to the police after they got called on us for no reason. We were peaceful and we preached on. And I saw this young man walking back.
Uh-huh.
And it was perfect timing because the police officer said, well, what you're doing is kind of, you know, can cause aggression and all this. And I said, you know why we're here? And I turned and looked and I said, we're here for a young man like that, that he said the church system, yeah, they're not teaching the truth. And he doesn't know why he's here at this worldly event. And he wanted to talk more. I said, we're here for those people. So this young man came back. What happened, Sister Amin?
He went over to Brother Akuo. They started talking. Brother Akuo was going to give him his testimony. And he actually sat down right there on like a little bench area, and he was there for a few minutes and got to talk, and he got a phone call.
Yep.
And he's talking on the phone, and then
guess who it was?
I was going to say, he got off the phone and walked right back into the festival to get his girlfriend. And it was like seeds being snatched away.
Yeah. The phone call was from his girlfriend. She was inside the music festival. She said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I'm on here talking to a guy." And I think she must have said, "Come on in here right now. Be by me." And he went in there. And when he came out, she had his arm. And she was walking with him with her arm linked to his. And he walked right by us. Brother Koo and I saw him. And we said, "We love you, young man. We hope to hear from you." And he just put his hand up like...
He nodded at me.
He nodded and he just walked away. And we were thinking about Satan and his workers that come and snatch seeds away. Satan, 1 Peter 5:8, he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And it's always heartbreaking when you see these young lives and young people listen to the gospel more than the old people. And then you see either just fleshly carnal people or they are workers of Satan and they sweep him away and keep us from giving him more truth.
Yep.
And so as another brother said, he said, well... He said, maybe that did happen. And he said also, he said, maybe the seeds just fall on the rocky ground of this man and he has no desire for it. And I said, yeah, time will tell, because he's got our gospel card. It's got our email.
Yep.
It's got all our teachings. And so that's why we put our website out there. That's why we put all these articles, audios. We want to leave breadcrumbs and teachings and discipleship and trails for people that want to come and follow Christ. So if he wants to, he can email us.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So go ahead.
Well, I was going to say about Satan snatching away. Well,
yeah.
He also causes distractions. It was interesting because after that happened, we were getting ready to, like, do some walking around the outsides. And we were talking about how Satan can send people and distract them and take them
yep.
away. And I said, you know, he can send a lot of distractions. I said, like, you'd be witnessing to people and all of a sudden the car right next to you, the horn starts going off and it goes on and on.
And what
and
happened
on
today?
On. We walked... And actually, I was talking to a group of people that came up to me, witnessing to him, and Brother Tupost came up in the middle of it, and then he took over. And sisters, there was nobody, there was a lot of cars there, but a car horn started going off, and it went on and on and on, and there was nobody there. And even they were looking around like, what's going on?
Somebody was hitting their remote.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting timing.
Yeah. Yeah, so Satan sends his workers. Satan's always ready to snatch people away. If they don't want to be snatched away, they won't be. The
right.
problem is people are uncertain in their flesh, and they tend to always lean to their flesh, and he pulls them away, and then those seeds get washed away, and so it's sad. But God was glorified.
Oh,
that
yeah.
young man got a lot of truth. I'm glad I filled him up, and so did you, with a lot of truth. And so he knows how to find us.
Oh, yeah.
If he wants encouragement. He said he was from Minnesota, so... We'll see what happens there.
Right.
And then, as I said, they called the police on us. A man came out and told us to leave the sidewalk. I said, I can't. I won't. I'm here to preach. I said, we're on a public sidewalk. We're outside. We weren't using an amplifier or nothing. Well, the police showed up. And, you know, the police said that they told the police officers that I was outside yelling, screaming, and cussing and swearing at people. And it just got me thinking about all the things that people say and lie about us. And I wonder if this is going to happen with some of these people. And that's, by the way, I said to the police officers, do you have the time? Would you like to look at my body cam and I can show you none of that happened? And the other cop put his hand up. He goes, I'm sure you're fine. And he said, that probably didn't happen. I said, no. And the good news is, one of the cops had met me 2 weeks earlier
mm-hmm.
from another preach in this town, and he said, everything I've seen about you is just fine. He said, I don't see any fault with what you're doing.
Yeah, he watched us quite a bit the last time. He had kept running into
yep,
him.
Yep, he watched
yeah,
us
he
last
was really
time.
Nice then, too.
Yep, he watched us this time. He was a Sunday churchgoer, and this time he was a little bit more edgy. He said that some of the things I say could cause people to come to aggression and all that, but I didn't agree with him, and I kind of lovingly corrected him on that, but... It made me wonder about this verse. I wonder if people, you think, Sister Amin, the people that lie about us to bring the police and all that, do you think this affects them? 1 Peter 3:16, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as mm-hmm. they speak evil of you as evildoers, that they may be ashamed that they falsely accuse you in your good conversation on Christ. You think any of those people ever go home and go, wow, the cops showed up and we told them that guy was cussing and stuff. That's not true. We shouldn't have done that.
I would hope so.
I do too. Hope they have a conscience.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when they see that we're not doing anything wrong and we stand there. And then sometimes those people see us actually talking to other people right. that want to be spoken yep. to. Yep. So maybe there'll be some conviction there.
So. Yeah, so they see consistency, like that police officer. He saw consistent, peaceful people, law-abiding people. Yeah, he didn't agree with what I was preaching because he's a Sunday churchgoer, and he says that that's going to make people mad and it doesn't draw them to God. Well, the biblical gospel, if it makes you mad, you're not going to be drawn to God. No. You're going to reject God. So we don't change, I told him, we don't change the message to reach people. We preach the gospel, and God, through the Spirit and the Word, reaches people. But, yeah, just started thinking about that. I wonder if those people that, you know, tell lies that I'm chasing children or I'm cussing or I'm doing all this stuff, I wonder if they have a guilty conscience about it, and maybe God can use it. If they can attack me with slander, and if God could convict them about it, maybe God could use that to bring them to salvation. I'm okay with that.
Right, or the ones that, yeah, swear at us or something, or maybe you said that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we get that a lot.
Yeah, well, we get a lot of nasty stuff
out there. Aggression today. A guy walked by, and I was warning people as they were going by about the wrath of God to come, the lake of fire waiting for those who don't repent and obey the gospel. And he picked his fist up, punched it right by my face, and said some vulgar words to me as he was walking by.
Yeah, those are the threatening people we have to deal with. And we see that a lot of people ignore it and walk by. We see Satan's workers come up, and they rise up, and they want to stop us. Today we had a mocker lady. First she was in Brother Akua's face before we got there. Then she got in Sister Amma's face, and I walked over and kind of got between and said, okay, we're done here. Then she came back, and for about 10 minutes, you'll hear on the audio tomorrow, I just preached over the top of her. She kept getting in my face. She was yelling in my ear. She wouldn't move. And I think people like that, if they don't have a demon, they're definitely of Satan because they hate the gospel going out. They want to attack it. She tried to drive me away, and I withstood her. So far, every mocker I've ever seen, I'm able to withstand because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Oh, right. You just ignore him.
So we can withstand that, and we just keep going and keep preaching. So that was pretty much the extent of our day there. Again, we'll have audio of that, but we had some good conversations. A lot of gospel cards went out. What else is on your heart and mind today, Sister Amma?
We'll have a question for you.
A question?
Yep.
It's late at night. I preached. I was with brothers on the phone for hours. And you think I have enough energy to answer a question? Well, I do. I'm ready.
I was going to say, you expect me to have enough energy when you ask me, so I would expect you would too.
Do one to others as you would do, huh? Is that what that is?
Yeah. So I heard this question tonight when you and the brothers were talking, and this wasn't the topic. This was just being used within an example of what you guys were talking about.
Yeah.
And so I want to ask you this. We're on the street, and somebody comes up and says, how do you know Jesus is real?
Oh, how do you know Jesus is real?
Yeah. How do you know he's real?
Yeah, we were doing a role play, and we were talking about, how do you know Jesus is real? That's such a deep question. First, I would be very careful who I entertain that question to. I would make sure that the person truly was a truth seeker and not a mocker, first of all. Most people that ask that question are atheists and they're mockers. Yep. And as you begin to give them truth, they trample you.
Yep.
And so that is such a deep question. Only go at a question like that with someone who, if you have already ascertained, is a truth seeker.
Yeah.
And how you ascertain if they're a truth seeker is you offer to go over the gospel with them to eternal life and share that with them. And if they go, well, I'd like to hear that and consider it and ponder it, then you might have a person you could talk to. But if they go, no, I don't want the gospel, just answer my question.
Right.
How do you know Jesus is real? And so be careful who you that answer that. How I would answer that question is I'd say there's a couple different avenues. We can answer that question by spirit. And the Bible says without faith, you cannot please God. So by faith, we believe who Christ is, who he said who he is. And we have lots of evidence, both secular evidence, biblical evidence. We have the prophecy evidence. We have the Word of God as evidence, the most accurate book in history. So we have the timeline of the world is set to Jesus' life. We have the confirmation of what the Holy Spirit does in us, changes us, transforms us, guides us, teaches us, shows us the Word. So all of these things put together, the spiritual, the material, the biblical truth, would be something that a person that was a truth seeker could go and look at and say, you know what? I cannot disprove this, so I must consider that it may be the truth. But a mocker's never going to see that. They've right. got their mind set on he doesn't exist. No matter what you tell him isn't going to matter. But here's what it does come down to. The parable about the rich man in hell burning, and he said, go warn my brothers. Yeah. And Abraham says to him, that he said, send somebody that has come back and warn them, my brothers. And I loved what Abraham said. He said, they have the prophets and the law and the word of God. If they won't believe that by faith,
yep.
they're not even going to believe somebody who comes back from the dead. Now, think about this. So I'm trying to convince somebody that Jesus is real. They won't even believe from the one who came back from the dead, Jesus,
right.
the facts. And if they look and see the Bible, they see that he existed in life. They can see the prophecy about his life. They won't even believe somebody that came back from the dead. How are they going to believe just plain old me, street preacher out in the street? If their heart and their mind is made up against the things of God and against Christ, those are the ones that Jesus said, don't cast your pearls because they'll turn and trample you. So again, reserve your truth telling to people that come up and are seekers, and especially deep, deep topic like how do you know who Jesus is? That's something that you'd have to sit down and go over with somebody and show them yeah. the evidence and give them your testimony, right? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. Mm-hmm. We love not our life unto death. So we'd want to give them our testimony, give them the evidence from the word of God, give them the historical evidence, and then say, go weigh all of this and figure out for yourself, and then ask God to reveal the truth to you via the Holy Spirit, which obviously that happens in a believer's life. So
right.
that would be my answer to that. Make sure they're not a mocker, and then begin to preach the testimony, your testimony, preach the gospel, show them the truth in the scriptures, show them the historical evidence, show them our timeline is set up on him, on his life, and ultimately challenge them. If you don't believe Jesus is real, go disprove all this evidence I've shown you, because I'm wasting my life then.
Right.
That make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And you went right where I would have gone in the beginning, is ascertain who they are, what their yeah. motive is and stuff. That's very important, especially yeah. on a big one like that.
Yeah. yeah. And again, if they won't investigate and put their trust in the Word of God, which is the eternal and true and has been around through all of human antiquity, I'm not going to convince them to believe in Jesus. So we have to be careful who we're casting our pearls to. And the Bible commands we don't cast them
right.
to those type of people. Because some people clearly are of Satan. John 8, Jesus said, you have eyes not to see, ears not to hear. Why? Your father is Satan.
Yep.
So ponder that. When you're witnessing, make sure you're actually spending your time with true seekers, not people that are just mockers and taking you down rabbit trails.
Right. Amen. Yeah. I was thinking as you were talking about that mocker woman.
Yeah.
She came up to me and she got in my face and she said, she was like literally a couple inches from my face.
Oh, yeah. They get right in your face.
Yeah. Like they really invade your private space, but whatever.
Yep.
And so anyway, she was saying, she was one of these that like to talk like this and try to make it look like they're being nice and better. But
yeah.
the words coming out of her mouth were terrible.
Yeah.
And she said, that there's many ways. And I said, Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through to the Father except by him.
Yep.
I said, so you're calling him a liar? And all of a sudden she shut up for a second. I couldn't. I repeated that many times. I said, you got to prove either he's a liar or you are. Who's lying?
Yep.
And she just like, her mouth was shut.
Yep.
She could not say he's a liar.
And then she got mad and came back later and was going after music, which I didn't want to talk to her about.
Yep.
She started talking about, here's a topic. So she started talking about psychology. And when I remind her, psychology is of Satan. It's not of God. She laughed. And I said, ma'am, Sigmund Freud, many people don't know this. Sigmund Freud, it's on my audios when we put it up tomorrow. He was the father of modern day psychology. It's a godless science that teaches a bunch of false ways and demonic doctrines. This is the man who was proven to be a child molester, having sex with children, yeah. And this is the man that said he believed that every man really wanted to have sex with his mother. Sorry I had to say that, but I'm just exposing psychology. This is the man that they founded psychology on. He was a pervert, and he was a antichrist man. And this is where they build all this mind science on that messes up people, teaches them to focus on themselves, in themselves, rather than look to the creator who created them. So I had to go over that with her, and she got very mad, upset at all that. And she's an ex-church goer. Now she's a new ager in the world. And so,
oh,
of course,
we ran into a lot of those today. Yeah. There's no God. God's not real.
Yep.
I love Satan.
It was a folk festival,
yeah,
and they do a lot of spiritual, new agey type of stuff.
Yeah, the hippies and things like
yep,
that.
Yep, yep, so, yeah. So,
yeah. Well, we shined the light there, so maybe somebody will get some truth that
way. Oh, yeah. God's always glorified when we shine the light. A lot of kids
definitely
were watching. There was
mm-hmm.
youth that were standing there watching, waving at us. And we just go out and represent Christ and try to do it as peacefully. Sometimes we do have to contend, but we do it peacefully, always peacefully. And we know the world hates it, but we stand to be salt and light out there in the world for the glory of God.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. What's else? What else, Sister Roman, do you have today? Your scriptures?
I have a scripture.
Anything else you want to share?
Isaiah 51:6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished.
I love that. Yeah, it's like Solomon said, everything else is vanity compared to the eternal things of God. And that's what we were on a brother's call. We were talking about always trying to ascertain if our lives are focused on that which is eternal. One of the brothers had a good question about, is it good to be comfortable in the world? Depends if we're looking at what we're comfortable in. Is it built on the eternity and the word of Christ and the word of God? So we had a whole bunch of good topics. So Sister Alma's going to post them at the top of the page. We had a teaching on music instruments. And we had, what else is at the top of the page, Sister Alma? The other brother's conversation about a bunch of things we talked about.
Oh, that will be in, I got to put that one up yet.
Yep. And did you post something
and
else?
Some videos or something.
Yep.
I can't remember.
And we
late.
Posted some videos that will maybe bring some edification to you. So that's all we have to share today. I had one last thought. I was thinking about loving truth and hating sin. Hebrews 1:9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God hath appointed thee with the oil, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. I was thinking about that. We talked about it, that we love righteousness and we hate sin and iniquity. And I say it all the time. If you don't really hate sin and iniquity, I don't think you love righteousness. Ponder that. You've got to stand against it and preach it if you really believe in it. Does that make sense, Sister Roman?
It does. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to stand against it and love what God loves, hate what God hates. God hates sin and iniquity and injustice and lying and all that. And God loves righteousness, truth, and goodness. And today we saw a whole bunch of people, most of them that weren't even Christians, that just love unrighteousness. Then we did run into a bunch of people that were Christians. And what do they always defend, Sister Roman?
Sin. Sin, sin.
Yep.
And they lift up grace.
Yeah. Yeah, they want to cry out grace, make excuses for sin, call us mean-spirited because we just stand against sin. And one man said, you need to just preach the gospel. And I said, sir, I've been doing that all day. I just did it to you. And he goes, well, preach it then. And I said, it's Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He goes, I agree. And I said, and repentance to him. And I said, what is repentance, sir? I said, it's what we've been talking about, leaving sin. And you got to get people to see what their sin is so they know they can leave it. And these people were defending worldliness. They were defending churchianity. And so loving righteousness and hating iniquity, let that be the charge of God's people.
Yeah, I love that.
All right.
Kind of makes you think about when Jesus said you need to hate your mother and father.
Yep. As compared.
Not literally, but in comparison.
Right.
Yeah, so if you love righteousness and you're striving after that, wow, you are really going to hate unrighteousness.
Amen.
And sin.
Amen. So we're going to leave right there. Tomorrow, I think we're going to try to find an event to preach at, maybe a church. We're going to stand outside, as we usually do on Sunday, and shine some light. We have our young brother with us. He's learning to do street ministry. And then we're going to get that post up, that preach up today. And I'm sure there'll be more edification to come.
Amen.
As we walk and follow after Christ.
Right.
All right, we love you all. Go out and have a joyous evening, morning, afternoon, wherever you are, and hold the light of Christ high and hold, if you have brothers and sisters you know, hold their arms up in the things of God, because it's a wicked world out there.
It is.
And help, we need to help each other endure as we walk in the Word, walk in the Spirit, endure until the end.
That's all the way until the end.
All the way till the end, till death, until Christ comes back.
Right. Make sure you got oil in your lamps.
Amen. Make sure you're prepared. Strive for the kingdom. We love you all.
May God be praised.
Amen, Sister Robin.